is Psalm 105, verses 1 to, well, it's at about 10, actually. But we'll see how we go. So this is Psalm 105. Thank the Lord for all the glorious things he does. Proclaim them to the nations. Sing his praises and tell everyone about his miracles. Glory in the Lord. O worshippers of God, rejoice. Search for him and for his strength, and keep on searching. Think of the mighty deeds he did for us, his chosen ones, descendants of God's servant Abraham and of Jacob. Remember how he destroyed our enemies. He is the Lord our God. His goodness is seen everywhere throughout the land. Though 1,000 generations pass, he never forgets his promise, his covenant with Abraham and Isaac, and confirmed with Jacob. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
What a lovely way to begin our Bible reading this morning. Thank the Lord for all the glorious things he does. Sing his praises and tell everyone about his miracles. Glory in the Lord. I wonder what you say, or if you say, to someone who says in front of you, "Oh my God," or "Jesus Christ." Should you say something, anything, or nothing? A week or so ago, Ken and I were watching the Repair Shop program we like a lot, and a very old Bakelite radio had been brought in for repair. The team had done a wonderful job on this radio, brought it back to life. It looked terrific. And the expression from the owner when he first saw it, polished and repaired, was, as so often it is, "Oh my God." And I thought, well, if that's your God, then you've got it all wrong, because God is not a Bakelite radio. And there have been occasions, because I am a bit mouthy, when I've said out loud to someone who exclaims, "Oh my God, no, it isn't." Usually it's either to someone I know or within a group who know me well, because basically I'm a bit of a coward too. However, I really do dislike hearing that phrase. Recently I read what was written on a billboard in the US for drivers on a very busy motorway, and it said this: "Keep using my name in vain and I'll make rush hour longer. Signed, God." Now, is that misusing God's name? I think it is, even if it's for a good and worthy reason. The other verse Mark gave us this morning for our reading is Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 11, and it says this: "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name." Do we insult a holy and righteous God when we use his name loosely? Or even when we allow others in our company to do so? I wonder what comes to your mind when I give you these names: Judas, the Apostle Paul, George Washington, Hitler, Osama bin Laden, Robin Williams. Usually we associate a person's names with a person's character, don't we? Who they really are, or how we see them. But for the Hebrews, a name could not be celebrated from the could not be separated from the reality. A person's name had to do with their very being. And for that reason, the name could not be used lightly. To belittle or misuse someone's name was to assault their character, their person. The name is the person. God's name is who he is. And here's something interesting that I learned during my reading for today's talk. You not only can misuse God's name with the way you talk, but you can also misuse it with your lifestyle. I believe there are at least two reasons why many people never, ever accept Jesus Christ. One of them is because they've never met a Christian, they've never been taught about Jesus, and they've never had the gospel explained to them. But the other way is because they have met Christians whose way of life did not indicate the faith that they professed. I'm told that Mahatma Gandhi said, "I would become a Christian if it wasn't for the Christians." He would follow Jesus because he thought Jesus was worth following, but the Christians had put him off. And as followers of Christ, we need to remember that we take God's name with us wherever we go. In Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 3, verse 17, he writes this: "Whatever you do from the time you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour, you are to do it in his name. You are to do it as an advertisement for him. As a follower of Jesus Christ, who is God, you can't get away from the name. We should be advertising Christ in the way we live, conduct ourselves, as well as speak." A bumper sticker was once made with these words, and again, probably American: "Damn is not God's last name." And one of my personal irritants is that O is God, not God's first initial, although I don't for one moment suppose that bothers God as much as it bothers me. When Jesus told his disciples how they should pray, the first statement, as you all very well know, was, "Our Father in heaven, holy is your name." It was so important that God's name be honoured, be accepted as holy in Jesus' world. And today's psalm tells us to thank God for all the glorious things he does. Proclaim them, sing his praises, and tell about his miracles. Glory in the Lord, glory in the Lord. Pray to him by name. Honor his holy name with hallelujahs. Some years ago, I was leading a praise service in Kent, prayer and praise service. And we came to the time when we were going to sing. I said, as so many of us do, "Let's now come to our time of praise." And so we did, and we sang our praises. Afterwards, a friend of mine, a real Christian warrior, who I admire tremendously, came up to me and asked me if it were only the time of singing that was praise. Wasn't the whole service, Julie, a time of praise? And I've never used those words since in that way. I always speak about singing praises, not just of praise in general when we come to sing. We need to think, and I hadn't, about what we're saying. I do know that I tend to take words very literally. Take a seat, for instance. Where to? There was a song many years ago, and I'm digressing here, but it amuses me. And the singer started by singing, I'm going to live till I die. And then he looked at the audience and said, well, what else can I do? And his next line of song was, I wonder who's kissing her now. Which, again, as an aside, he said, what's her now? Words. And names are words too. Names which need to be thought about. I used to go into our local school once a week to take assembly. And the headmistress, a very formal lady, introduced me as Mrs. Ludlow. I told the children, I had cleared this with the headmistress earlier, I told the children that Ludlow was my husband's name, which I had taken when we married. But my name, the only name of which I owned, was Judy. And that's what I wanted them to call me. And so they did. God's name needs to be thought about. The New Revised Standard Bible translates the third commandment as you shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God. And this does make good sense against using God's name as a casual curse. Another point here on the use of God's name as an expletive is that when the commandments were given to Moses, God's name never would have been used in a wrong way. This was the name of the one they worshipped, a name to be thrown around conversationally, casually, no, and never as an expletive. If an Israelite had said, God damn, anything, he would have meant it as a prayer, not an idle comment. And having lived in the Islamic world for several years, you know, I've never heard a Muslim say the name of Allah as an expletive. They just wouldn't, or couldn't. Why then do we feel it acceptable to take the name of our God, the creator and sustainer, so lightly or wrongly? Another rendering of the commandment is you shall not lift up the name of Yahweh for mischief. We think of mischief as fairly light stuff, don't we? Irritating, perhaps, but more or less something that children get up to. But one of the dictionary definitions is that it is harm or trouble caused by someone or something. So what does that mean? Swearing on the Bible in court, maybe, and then lying? Getting married in church? In the name of God, and failing to keep those vows, often with no intention of keeping those vows. And what about those who bring babies for baptism and promise to bring them up in the faith of God? Both parents and godparents promising, without even considering what is being promised. In the name of God. We've lived with these commandments all our lives, often divided into two groups. 1 to 4, our duty to God. 5 to 10, our duty to others. You shall have no other gods. Is our Heavenly Father God insecure? I don't think so. He knows how many other gods there are that people worship. Last week's teaching, which we had from John, speaking about the second commandment, no idols. We think of idols as images, and again, Islam does not permit this. But as was explained, our idols can take many forms, most of which will never be entirely adequate and may lead us down some wrong and dangerous paths. And today we have commandment number 3. Do not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God. God isn't afraid of being insulted. He's bigger than that. But God is troubled by the damage that could be done if worship to his name is not at the foundation of our society. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God. Not for magic, not for insincere pledges, not in court, and certainly not as a casual curse. You shall, however, take God's name, his majesty, his power, his character, everything you think of when you hear his name. You shall take God's name seriously. And when we do, it makes all the difference. We will then share a gospel that is genuinely good news, not bad. We will work for justice, oppose discrimination, fight oppression, and try to put meat on the bones of that ancient and honoured concept known as love your neighbour. And I'm going to end with a prayer which will be up on the board. And when we do open the book, we always end with a prayer. And in the group when I was doing open the book, we always said, and if you want to make this prayer your prayer, say it with me. So it's on the overhead, and if you want to make this prayer your prayer, say it with me. Father God, we know how often we misuse your name. We do it consciously with our mouths and unconsciously in the way we live. Forgive us and keep us from repeating what we know to be wrong. Help us to avoid saying or doing things that destroy that witness. Then, Lord, in your mercy, give us fruitful lives as we seek to serve. We pray this sincerely and with the realization of all that it implies. In the name of Jesus. Amen.